Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Year starting with $500 off. This will be your favorite home improvement, especially during the holiday. Comer and Cross Concrete floor coatings are the gold standard. Guaranteed. They'll never chip, crack, or show tire lift like epoxy or paint ever. And they make it so easy. I know they did mine. It's one day they're in, they're out. They fix your cracks and the pits perfectly. They're all certified employee pros too. No freelancers. And they take your stuff out for you. The number is easy. 1-800-NEW-FLOOR. For your best price of the year on your garage floor or your basement floor and guaranteed installation by the holiday, you have to call them now. 1-800-NEW-FLOOR. That's 1-800-NEW-FLOOR or go to comercross.com.
More of the Bernstein and Harris Show on the way in 60 seconds on The Score.
This holiday at T-Mobile, I'm joined by a special co-anchor.
What up, everybody? It's your boy, Big Snoop D-O-double-G.
Snoop, let's talk about T-Mobile.
Okay, cool.
This holiday, get four lines for $25 a line, plus four iPhone 16s with Apple Intelligence and the all-new camera control on us.
Let's get cracking, like a breakfast egg.
You can use those eggs to make some eggnog, Snoop.
Respect.
And people do love T-Mobile, where you can save on every plan versus...
Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay. Here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on The Score.
Would you like to know how much Caleb Williams and Thomas Brown have communicated since being on the same team? Here's Caleb Williams.
You know, we haven't really talked much throughout this time.
And, uh-oh.
Well, now they will speak. Don't you think that Caleb ought to do some more of just maybe shutting up and playing?
Wow, so shut up and dribble. Huh? Okay.
Yeah. All right. We're going to create a new banner. This is a Jum Doc alert.
Must they run their mouths like that? Shut up and dribble.
Awful announcing tweet. 670 The Score host Matt Spiegel says Caleb should just shut up and dribble.
Shut up and pass.
Yeah. For more than 3.4 yards in attempt.
There is a 0% chance this doesn't end up on awful announcing.
You know, here's the thing about the Bears and the Packers and the sweep needing to happen. As Lizzo has told us, it's about damn time.
It's a good song.
It's a great song.
She's not that great, though.
Oh, I disagree. I disagree.
Maybe. I think Shane means as like a person.
Oh, as a human.
Yeah.
But in a new lawsuit filed by three former dancers, Lizzo was accused of weight shaming.
I'm not hip to some of that.
Yeah. I'll million in the break.
She's a flute playing band geek.
Awful announcing second headlines from the show.
Score producer, white man, Shane Reardon, hates Lizzo.
I was going to go with me. Matt Spiegel says Lizzo is flute playing band geek.
There is a 0% chance this doesn't end up on awful announcing.
The radio host out of work after comments many are calling racist.
You guys are just trying to bury me. I know, because I'm a middle-aged white man. I get it.
Oh, is that it? Playing the race card?
Typical.
Typical.
Your race card, sir?
Ah, my African American Express. I've been waiting since yesterday to use you.
The official adventures of
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
That is absolute genius at work right there.
Look, all press is good press. You know what I'm saying?
It's not accurate.
You get out there, you get yourself known a little bit.
That's not accurate.
That's the name of the game, Lawrence. You know that's what I've always been about in this business.
Your name out there, no matter how?
I don't care. Yeah. I don't, I'm not interested in actually representing what I actually feel. I'm a contrarian by convenience.
I can tell you, Speaks All Press is not good press.
That is, you are correct, Shane. That is the
quick,
proper
quick
response,
Google,
Shane.
Sir.
Just put my name in Google.
That's all right.
I have to keep this job for a long time.
we would like for you to keep this job for a long time.
And that's why he's booked a hell of a show.
We have ourselves quite the show today. It is Spiegel and Holmes. That man is Matt Spiegel.
They let go of Shane. You know,
unfortunate about the circumstances as far as Shane being fired.
Yeah, sucks.
Got your good fellows already.
But they're letting me do one more show. What will I say today?
We've lost the symmetry of the offensive the coordinator and the O-line coach collaborating. Shane and Chris getting a chance to work on all their blocking schemes. We've lost that opportunity. So Tanny has to, harvest all the Shane stuff from yesterday one more time. Just hold it, just in case we need it.
Just like this Chris, the Chris over there with the Bears, he's been there a long time.
A long time.
Knows how to keep his job.
He's outlasted a lot of regimes.
So like Speegs was saying, our show is booked today. Wani will be in studio with us at 5 o'clock. It's always fun. Shout out to Wani getting a nice, talk about good press. The piece in the Cranes about Wani is great.
I've got it right here, man. I have Wani autograph it when he gets in here.
It doesn't mention the other show he's on weekly, but that's fine. Mark Grody is on
Cranes.
Yeah, Mark Grody's on at 4 o'clock. Matt Bowen is going to join us at 2:40 today. We are also going to talk about the developments in the CHSN thing and ask a question of people. I asked it to folks on Twitter. They ain't happy if Twitter is any indication of this, but we'll see. We'll do a different kind of grouping with folks on the phone and in text, and the folks are in the mob. Shout out to the mob. The mob wanted to remind us that the Iron Man streak for this show is now up to 22.
That's pretty high. I got to say, 22 and the Iron Man streak just means we're both here working together. This started in the days of me and Mac way back in the day, and it's Doug, it's Audio ID Kid, who was the originator of the Iron Man streak. I think Mac and I made it to 10 once. It was very exciting.
Well, I'm upset because I'm doing some extra stuff this weekend for the station.
Uh-huh.
So Mitch was like, I would like it if I didn't burn you, so why don't you pick a day next week and take a day off? So I'm going to take next Friday off. So the streak's going to end at 27.
Unless I can end it first.
Well, I don't want you to just not do the show.
I might want to. You never know.
But I imagine 27 is...
That's got to be very... That's up there.
That's pretty strong.
Yeah.
Although, you and Danny didn't take a lot of time off.
I think...
What?
They didn't?
Things happen.
I don't know if we ever broke 8 or 9.
No. We got to 20 at least
mob,
once.
Check me on that.
I feel like I would see them every day. Or maybe it's just I was thinking I've seen one of them every day.
You see one of them every day, yeah. Well, rarely were they both off.
We eventually called it the Parkins or Spiegel show. And this one is Spiegel and Holmes. So I say we keep the conjunction we've got.
Yeah, so do you not want me to take off next Friday so we can keep the streak?
No, well, traditionally the Friday before Bears-Vikings is usually when a host takes off. So now you go. You enjoy yourself. Kid,
it would be nice though if the Bears won, like this week.
This week,
can you imagine?
Hey man, I got the image.
I know
of
you
it.
Can imagine.
I gave you the image of it yesterday, and I'm betting it on behalf of the investors in the mob that jumped with me, putting it on the money line. But I could conceivably, you can conceivably see it if Thomas Brown simplifies what they do and they run the ball a lot into what is actually a vulnerable defensive line for the Packers, and the Bears defense plays with their normal verve and Jordan Love gives up the ball a couple times, which he is prone to do.
It's not a bad question for Matt Bowen when we talk to him at 2:40 about what simplification of an offense can look like and how can it succeed. So let's I'm going to put a mark in that and maybe write it into our doc to ask Bowen about that. But that's not where we're going to start today. We're going to start with something that happened on our show and something that happened at Halas Hall, and they seem to kind of mix.
Yeah, they really do. I mean, this thing from Keenan Allen yesterday has been everywhere in the football landscape. I heard David Hall this morning calling it the quote of the year. Or the soundbite of the year in terms of Bearsness. Tom Pelissero brought it up to us yesterday at 5:15 from the NFL Network. So because it's crossed all around. This very simply is Keenan Allen talking about where it went wrong for Shane Waldron.
For me, I'd probably say just probably too nice of a guy.
I think OTAs, training camp, we kind of fell into a trap of letting things go, not holding people accountable, and obviously those things get into a little slippery slope.
So what types of things are you talking about?
Just being, you know, kind of professionalism, just doing things the right way from the beginning.
So to that end, what does Thomas's presence mean to this offense? Different personality, biologically.
Yeah, different personality. I think he's just more of a don't take type of guy. And won't accept it either, so see how it goes.
That matters?
Absolutely.
I mean, that's incredible. That is a vet telling you that right from the get-go. And he wasn't here for some of the OTAs because he's a vet, and he didn't even have to be here. But as soon as he showed up, he looked around and was like, what the hell is happening here? What are these guys doing? You lollygag your way around the practice field. You lollygag your way in the reading room. You know what that makes you?
A lollygagger?
That's right. Lollygaggers.
I feel like Nate Davis wasn't here for the OTAs either.
I don't know if he was.
I don't think he was.
Certainly wasn't here mentally.
No, and also not physically, but that's another story for another day. But yeah, you're right. Like it's an interesting thing. And we had brought up, like, as a show, we kind of talked about, well, maybe Shane was in a very strange place because of the power dynamic that everything has been catered towards Caleb. And if you're him, if you're trying to pick a side on what type of coach you need to be, is it, I'm going to be rolling with Caleb over here, so whatever he does is right because he's going to be here and not everyone else is.
Here's the thing, though. I do believe that when you are trying to teach a young quarterback, everything in the org has to be focused on that. Like, that's all good because of how important it is. But what you can't do is directly, when it comes to the work that matters, you can't kiss his ass on the practice field. That's a different thing. You got to coach him on the practice field.
You can't allow for veterans, especially those who have seen a lot of ball, to see that happen.
No chance.
Like a guy like Mercedes Lewis, a guy like Keenan Allen, a guy like DJ Moore, those guys, or even in the case of like Cole Kmet, where Cole saw how hard Justin was coached. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So he's like, wait a minute.
And Justin took to it because Justin is a dude who wants to be coached. And we're not positive about Caleb. We think he is. We heard that he craves structure, and we heard that he wants that. But either way, you got to give it to a rookie quarterback. You can't just like let them tell you they got it all figured out because that's not how the world works. So with that in mind, they chose a horrible leader and communicator as offensive coordinator, just an absolutely brutal choice, who then they then called, as a leader, he's dynamic, said Matt Eberflus, which is a disgusting misread or just a bald-faced lie the day that they announced
when him. When you hear Keenan talk the way that he did, and then you back that up with what Spiegs is saying here from Eberflus, it is unimaginable that they thought that he was a dynamic leader.
They said as a leader, he's dynamic. How is that possible that you actually thought that? You just thought you could say that and people would buy it? It's just absolute trash. So that's the thing that was everywhere yesterday. And you had the realization that it married to something that we heard on this show.
Yeah, so we're going to talk with Lance Briggs every Tuesday at 3 o'clock. And if you missed the debut, you missed the doozy because he was getting his toes done while he was doing the segment. It was a lot of fun with him and Spiegs talking about pedicures. But when we started talking about how teams work, how locker rooms work, how relationships with coaches work, it sparked our brains when he said this.
You have to know how to lead men. You know, it's the analytics are good. You know, you can be a smart. You want him to be smart to look at a defense and someone to call down and say, hey, this is how they're attacking us, or this is what they're doing on first down, and immediately say, okay, I know what I want to do. I know how I want to attack that based off of our personnel and our strengths. But along with the analytics, and I believe that the NFL right now is a very analytical league, you know, a lot of smart guys, but not a lot of great leaders of men. So you have to be able to lead men. You have to be able to take charge of those guys in that room, because once you do, they'll run through a brick wall for you, you know, and that doesn't seem to be the case with the Bears right now, because I see guys pulling in a lot of different directions right now, fellas. A lot of different directions right now where I see the players standing.
What does it take to lead men? What kind of person? What do you need from a coach in that regard?
Well, number one, if you want to lead men, you got to be willing to fight every one of them in the room. You know, and that's it really comes down to it. And that's all. You know, football is a control fight. You know, and you know you have to be able to challenge them at the moment that you see an issue. You don't cover it up. You don't walk away. You don't pretend like you don't see it. You address it right now. You know, you're sharp. You're very translucent about what you want out of them, about what you need. And you're very sharp. And one thing that Lovey used to always say at the very first meeting, listen, I will fine you to the maximum amount that is allowed for anything that you do that you're not supposed to be doing. So know that out the gate.
Love that. Lovey did it with money, but he had the toughness underneath it that they knew in both facets. He would get him with the wallet as much as he needed to, but he would stand right up to him if he needed to as well.
He'd get him with the wallet and also with playing time. And you talk to those guys, he was really good at finding the thing that got to you. Because Lovey rarely yelled and never cursed. So think about that. Like when you hear Lance talk about the idea of you have to be able to fight a guy, like he's not talking about a Dan Campbell type. That wasn't Lovey's get down at all. But there was a level of respect that he had built into them. And the way that he acted, they never ever wanted to disappoint him. And then you have the sternness of, here are the weapons that I will use. I don't have to use my fists. I will bench you, and I will take your money away. I will do all that I can do inside of the CBA because this is my team and I'm in charge of it.
And I'll say it right to your face and go right to it. And it appears we have a situation where Eberflus is not that guy, and neither was Shane Waldron. So who is that guy? It's got to be somebody. They got to have it. Kerry Joseph can't be that guy. He's a quarterback's coach, and that's all he is. It's like you need – it has to be somebody. This is always the case in a baseball clubhouse too, man.
I'm struggling – Speaks, the reason that I'm struggling with it, like the characterization of Eberflus in this, is because it would be the first time that I had ever encountered a defensive guy being like that. Like usually – even down to the position coaches, like those guys have maybe a little harder edge because of what's asked of them as coaches. If Eberflus, like, I would love to know, like maybe that's one of the things I can dig and find out. I would love to know if there is a passivity to him or if behind closed doors there is a little bit of a harder edge.
Yeah, I mean, because it doesn't come across. And remember, he's trying to lead, and he's not great at being the boss. And it's clear it definitely seems like he's trying to be liked a bit too much by those players.
That he's trying to figure out how to kind of walk that tightrope. Yeah. And he doesn't want to go too far because he is a player's coach. And
I had a great conversation yesterday with a listener, a friend who's also a listener. And he was like, I don't know what kind of coach I'd be. Could you do the hard coaching? And we were talking about it. And No. Like these days, I really enjoy trying to tell the honest truth to people and really like get there. But I want to be liked too much. You know, you got to have that thing where you don't give a crap about being liked. Some of us face it as parents. Like you got to discipline your kid and not have your kid try, you know, and not worry about your feelings getting hurt when your kid thinks you're being an ass. So be it. My job is to make you the best adult that I can make you. And that's the gig, you know?
So the ability to tell somebody the truth without getting punched in the face.
There it is.
You tell them in the shower. That was Mark DeRosa's thoughts, that you do it in the shower. That way people are less likely to fight you.
It's embarrassing when you're a head coach who doesn't have that and you think it's okay to hire an offensive coordinator who doesn't have that. That's what's embarrassing.
To speak to my point about defensive guys,
yo,
you know who Matt Bowen's defensive coordinator was for a big portion of his career?
Bounty Gate dude, right?
Greg Williams.
Yeah, Greg Williams.
Like for real. Like, you know what I mean? Like, crazy guy stuff. So it really shocks me that Eberflus, it would shock me if he doesn't have that in him. It wouldn't shock me if he's not laying into it, though. But we will talk with Matt Bowen, and we're going to ask him about offense and how Thomas Brown can make this work with Caleb. Don't go anywhere. Matt Bowen is the best in the business. He's next here on The Score.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Watch Matt Bowen. Bowen's a tough guy.
Matt Bowen.
And it's intercepted by Matt Bowen.
Miller, ton of time. The coverage is good. With Matt Bowen,
NFL writer and analyst for ESPN.
What I would have liked to see directly after that football game is Matt Eberflus comes to the podium and say, that's on me. My guys were not ready in that situation. That's on me as the head coach. I have to own this one. You want to have the head coach be the most important man in that building.
7-year NFL veteran.
Running left and a big gain on first down. He picked up another first down, but the ball came out. Matt Bowen knocked it out.
You see the pressure on the outside by Matt Bowen.
Blitz coming from Bowen, and he knocks it out. The Redskins fall on top of it. Matt Bowen's been the guy applying all the pressure.
Matt Bowen doesn't do what Matt Bowen does. That would have been a touchdown.
Defensive back coach for IC Catholic football.
One of the greatest things and most rewarding things about being a high school coach is to see the impact it can have on your student athletes.
Matt Bowen is in charge of the defensive backs, former NFL player.
And that will be the final play. IC Catholic for the sixth time comes to the state championship game, and for the sixth time, they win it.
Matt Bowen.
I have a simple rule with beer. I only drink beer that you can buy in 30 packs. So that, I'll leave you with that.
With Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
We love the opportunity to talk ball with Matt Bowen. He's great, and he joins us now on the Spiegel and Holmes show as the Bears get ready to play a team in a franchise that he is very familiar with, the Packers. So, Matt, I know you've told a lot of the stories of your time with the Packers, a ton on these airwaves, but for you, as a guy that grew up a Bears fan and then played for the Packers, what's this like, the Bears-Packers week?
Traitor. You're a traitor, Bowen.
From the Packers' perspective.
It means a lot. It meant a lot back then, too. Obviously, much different team, different coaches. Brett Favre was our quarterback, but I always felt in that game, compared to playing, let's say, a crossover game in the AFC East, for example, the speed of the game increased. The energy of the game increased. To me, it felt almost like a playoff game when it was Green Bay versus Chicago. And I think it had more meaning, even though it's just one win or one loss throughout the course of the season. It had more meaning because I thought the preparation time was different. Obviously, the energy in the stadium was much different. You're up in Lambeau Field or you're at Soldier Field, and you're playing a different team, like last week, okay? New England versus Chicago. It's going to have a much different energy level this week with Green Bay coming to town. And I've always said Spiegs, I'll be honest. I was crushed when the draft, the 2000 draft, because you're always holding out hope that the Bears draft you, right? When they drafted Mike Brown, I was crushed. Now, it was the right pick. I'm not going to say that. They made a great pick in Mike Brown. But I always said when I played for the Packers this week, back in time playing against the Bears, for me, it was like playing against your childhood.
See, that's awesome. That's so real. So if you're playing against your childhood, does your focus rev up, or can you be distracted as some of these guys will be dealing with this weekend?
I think you have to treat it like it. Well, where the Bears are right now, you have to treat every game like a playoff game. But I thought you had to treat that game a little bit differently, knowing that it was going to be played at a faster pace. Knowing that the tempo was going to increase based on down and distant game situation, and knowing that you could feed off the crowd. My favorite game, it wasn't even at Soldier Field when we played the Bears down in Champaign. That was what, the 2002 season.
Is that when you got locked out of the hotel?
Yeah, it was. That was. That was the night I wet my bed and got locked out in the hotel. Yeah, it was a long night. But but speaks to your point. That's why I wet my bed, because I was so excited to play in that football game, and you don't really sleep a lot. And the game wasn't until, you know, at night. And unlike playing in Chicago, where you're staying at a gorgeous hotel down on Michigan Avenue, we were staying at some place in Rantoul, Illinois. So it was much different, right? Much different. And then you take a bus from Rantoul over to Champaign. But that energy in Champaign was outstanding. That, to me, felt like a Big Ten environment. And look, you don't get that a lot in college football. I mean, in pro football, that experience of playing like a college-level game with that type of energy, with that type of fan base, that was one of my favorite games ever as a football player at any level.
I don't know if I heard the story about the bed, so I don't want to make Matt relive it, but there is like some 30-pack beer stuff that's going on in the open. So are they related? What the hell happened, Bowen?
So this is what happened. Obviously, that year in Green Bay, I started six games that year, and that was one of the games I started. We had some injuries in the secondary, and so I was starting that game. Obviously, you're playing, like I said, playing your childhood. It's a Monday night football game against the Chicago Bears. What more do you want as a young player in that league, right? And so the night before, I drank a bunch of coffee during meetings. I drank a bunch of Gatorade because I wanted to be hydrated for the football game. And I woke up in the middle of the night, and I completely wet my bed. And my roommate on the road was Aaron Campman. And Campman and I obviously played football at Iowa together. So I didn't know what to do. Like, if you're in Michigan Avenue, you just call someone. They fix it for you, right? Because you're a pro football player. But we were in Rantoul, Illinois. So I didn't know what to do. I kind of panicked. I grabbed a towel, put it around me, and then I wrapped up all the sheets and comforter and all that stuff and kind of slung it over my shoulder, right? And I walked out, and I was like, well, I'll just take it down to the laundry and get new stuff. Well, again, this hotel, there was no laundry at 2 or 3 in the morning, whatever it was. So I'm like, I can't let people know I wet my bed. You know, that's the last thing I want is for someone to see me right now. And so I walked out, and I was like, I'm going to throw it in the dumpster in the back. And so I walked outside, and I threw it in the dumpster. I turned around. There was no handle on the door. So now I'm in the parking lot, right? I'm in the parking lot in a towel. So I walk around to the front of the hotel. No shoes on or anything. And there was an older lady working at the desk. And I said, I'm Matt Bowen. I play for the Green Bay Packers. And I got locked out of my room. I don't think she believed me at all. So then I had to call team security. They handled the situation, got me new sheets and new comfort and all that stuff. And I didn't really make my bed. I just kind of flipped the mattress over because I was done. I took a shower. And I woke up the next morning, Cam was like, what happened to your bed? I was like, don't worry about it. So I didn't tell Campman for like 9-10 years after that. I didn't tell anybody. And then I wrote it. I wrote the story for ESPN. It was at the Combine. I remember they asked me to write it. I was like, I got nothing to lose. So I wrote it for ESPN. And then before it published, I called Campman. I'm like, you're going to hear this story. I was like, this is what happened that night. So I played okay. I had a pass interference call. On a play in the end zone that I wish I could take back. But I played okay. I played good that night. We beat the Bears. That was a game where it started early in the game. Favre rolled to his left. It hit Donald Driver on that deep ball throw down the sideline. We kind of took over the game after that.
You know, it takes a big man to be comfortable with that. So thank you for sharing it again. and seriously, though, there's something to be learned about that, about your comfort in telling the story and being a tough badass on the day-to-day. Those things are not mutually exclusive, Matt.
Well, that was something, man. I mean, it was. I mean, that game in general. yeah. I mean, it's one of my favorite games ever at any level. And look, it speaks to your point. It was a game in, like, October. You know what I mean? It wasn't a game that was going to decide a wild card spot or who won the division. It was a game in November. So, again, obviously it's different for me growing up here in the Chicago area. But if you're that excited about playing that football game, then it means something to you. It just does. Not that playing the Titans or the Patriots does not. I understand that. But these games are just different because of the familiarity. You know the personnel. You know the tendencies they have. And it means more to the fans as well, and you feed off that.
The incredible Matt Bowen joining us here on Spiegel and Holmes. Matt, before you came on, we were thinking about this, and like Spiegs brought up that he hopes that Thomas Brown spends some time like simplifying things to make it work. And I know that, whenever we talk about the even use the term simplifying, that, you know, it's kind of got a pejorative feel to it. So
it does.
So if you're Thomas Brown and you're looking at this with clear eyes, knowing the people that are involved, what are you hoping you can accomplish this week with this group on offense?
Well, I agree with simplifying. I think the best football teams at any level are simple. They don't get too complex. They put their players in a position where they can play fast and play loose. Okay, because if you can't do that, you're going to struggle, especially in the offensive side of the ball, which is much more structured. You got to remember this. Defensive football is read your keys and play fast and go tackle and go take away the football. Now, it's obviously a little bit more complicated than that, but offense is so much more structured because you need 11 guys to do the same thing every time. So I believe in simplifying and in doing it in ways. I posted it on social earlier this week, kind of like a checklist, so to say, for a new offensive coordinator. The first thing I said was get more numbers in the box for the run game. To get more numbers. Now you can do that in multiple ways, and you can be creative doing that. Obviously, you can add two tight ends. We all know that. Obviously, you can add a fullback if you wanted to. We know that. If you look at some of the great running teams, San Francisco, the LA Rams, how they disguise that, how they motion in a wing or motion in a wide receiver and insert him into the front to get an extra number. Get someone to climb to the Mike linebacker to create a running lane for DeAndre Swift. Simple things like that you can do, but you're going to have to do it because that's the first thing I would do. As a new coordinator, I'd find a way to run the football. 100% find a way to run the football, be efficient running the ball, and set up my young quarterbacks. The first thing I would do would be the extra numbers in the run game. The second thing, engineer more wide receiver separation. You're not seeing enough. You're just not. Right now, the Bears run too many routes in a straight line. Okay, do you know what I mean by that? So if you're running in a straight line, it's easier to cover, much easier to cover. If you're running a crossing route in a straight line, much easier to cover. More stems within the routes. More clear and replace concept. Clear and replace, what does that mean? I'm going to run off a safety. I'm going to create a window. I'm going to bring in an in-breaker behind it. It's a defined read for the young quarterback. He can hit the back foot and absolutely hammer the ball to the middle of the field. Are you going to see more man this week? You might. Because last week, New England ran 27 snaps of man coverage against the Bears. The most in the league. Now, Green Bay is not a top 10 team in terms of man percentage, but they might be this week because of what they saw on tape. So what are your man coverage answers? More picks routes, right? Get guys loose. Create immediate separation so the ball comes out quicker. The next one was incorporate more max protection. Again, simple, right? Keep a running back in. Keep a tight end in. I don't care if you only have two guys running a route down the field. I don't care at this point. Because if you can scheme it right, you'll have an opportunity to take a throw down the field, hit the second level, and guess what? Later, your running back will check out. And you always tell your quarterback, guess what? You always have a check down. You always have it. If it's not there, you take the check down underneath. We go on to the next play. The next one I had was have four play-action concepts you really like. Okay, four play-action concepts you really like that marry the exact action you see in the running game. So they both look the same. And have three screens ready off of those same looks. Okay, again, not very complicated. And the last one I had was to run a trick play. Everyone says, oh, you can't run trick plays. Not on Sundays. Well, the Lions do it all the time. Okay, and what it means is as a coordinator or play caller, don't be too proud to run a gadget play. Don't be too proud to get that on tape because now you're going to set yourself up for later in the football game and the next week and the week after that. And that was just a kind of a simple checklist to your point. It can be simple. If you can do that stuff and be efficient and execute it, then you can compete with the Packers on Sunday. You can be in a position late in the football game because you have a good defense to win the game. And that's the point of all this. I've been listening to stuff all week. We all have. We've all had our own opinions on what the Bears are going through with the coaching change, losing three games in a row. That all kind of starts to go away when you win a football game. So that is your number one goal this week. It's not the drama outside or inside Halas Hall. It's what can we do from a coaching perspective to put a very talented roster, which the Bears have, in a position to win this football game. That is our number one priority this week.
That's incredible stuff from Matt Bowen, taking it back to the game and the week, and it fits with the overall stuff because we're not – why weren't they doing this from the beginning of the year? Some kind, like it's such a nice way to bring in a rookie quarterback, and your defense is so good. But just last thing, Matt, in 20, 30 seconds, that approach can be married with the new offensive coordinator bump of like having some energy. You can be physical and have an identity with some energy that you have a new guy in a week like this, can't you?
Yeah, and you can be more accountable. That's the number one thing with football. be more accountable. I think I've said this to you guys before. I'll say it again. The number one thing with the player and coach relationship, okay, do you trust him? Okay, that's the first thing. Do you trust him? And if you trust your coach and you have respect for your coach, you can do a lot of great things. And that's the number one goal outside of winning this game, is that has to be developed quickly. It has to be done by Sunday.
Matt, you're the best. Thank you, sir.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend. Go Bears.
Appreciate you, Matt.
That is Matt Bowen. I kind of want Matt in the room now. Dude, after that. Jesus.
I want him on the phone with Thomas Brown at the very least.
That was awesome. We're going to talk more about the Bears and why the Bears are acting maybe like another franchise in town. That's next here on The Score.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.